It's The Record on KUOW, and I'm David Hyde. I'm standing on the deck of the Vashon Island Ferry, and I'm heading to a place called Docton Park that's actually on Maury Island, on the shoreline between Maury and Vashon. I've heard it's a really gorgeous spot, but also a place that reveals the damage that we've been doing to the shorelines of Puget Sound. So today there's a huge restoration effort underway, part of that much larger project to make Puget Sound healthy again. And our guide to that restoration effort today is Greg Rayborn. You know Greg from KUOW. He's our native plant and gardening expert.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, good to see you again.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time.
No problem.
All right, so we're standing here at Docton Park, and you're going to show us a little bit about this restoration project. And we're looking out at these pilings, right? Those things are, that are sticking up in the air are called pilings?
Yeah, those are old pilings that are treated with creosote. Creosote was great for keeping them from rotting, but now we poses a problem to water quality in Quartermaster Harbor and all throughout Puget Sound.
What's the problem with creosote? What is creosote and why is it a problem?
Creosote is like a thick coal tar type of substance that's just smeared on it that generally things don't like to burrow into and eat. Things that would normally eat wood won't eat through creosote.
So it's so good for protecting your docks and your pilings.
It's been shown to be very effective. A lot of these pilings are dozens and dozens of years old. But the problem is that same quality that makes it keeps pilings from rotting in turn persists for so long in the environment. It'll spread out into the water column where it's a toxin that is, you know, helping degrade Puget Sound, as well as the little fragments of piling over the years that have creosote on will just get mixed into the sediment and beach material where it can impact other, you know, shellfish and also herring spawn, which herring will tend to spawn on the pilings themselves.
So herring are little fish that salmon eat?
Yeah, they're one of these small fish that you wouldn't really pay much attention to as far as what we're eating, but they're very important in the food web.
So you're worried about them, those creatures, all those creatures, ingesting the creosote, and then that impacts human health?
Yeah, well, if you have shellfish that have a buildup of these polyaromatic hydrocarbons that are found in creosote, then they're not good to eat.
All right, tell me, what was this beach like before you brought in all this equipment and started digging it up?
Well, it was really level. There were a couple of boat sheds, and it just was kind of a grassy area with the rock all along the shoreline. But what we discovered as we started pulling back the soil is that, from what we can tell, there was a peat marsh here. Then the sawmill came in and they took a bunch of the logs and they just dropped those on top of the salt marsh and then took whatever fill they had, different soils or rocks, as well as we find some bricks and wood debris. Basically anything they could get their hands on, they just dumped on top of the logs and made a level area.
So it's almost like an archaeological dig. And you're taking that stuff up to expose this peat. Why?
So we're in some places we actually have to dig down through the peat, but a lot of the peat will be exposed. And one of the things we hope is there was historically peat here, so we want to retain that as much as we can. But also, it would be really fun if some of those old seeds that are left there germinated, and we, you know, they've only been buried 100 years. Some seeds will last that long. Who knows?
I'm here with Greg Rayborn. We're standing in Docton Harbor looking at a beach restoration project that the county's taking on. This beach looks to be, Greg, maybe a football field long, a little longer than that?
Yeah, that's about right. It's, I think, 350 feet of shoreline armoring we're removing.
All right, so let's maybe walk down the beach. We looked at the creosote pilings. What else do you have to show us?
Well, one thing you'll notice about this beach is that it's right now, if we look to the left, you'll see where there used to be a lot of different boulders. So we've been busy out here removing all the rock that went along the shoreline. And that rock was put in by previous owners to try and keep the beach from washing away. But what that does is when you have a bulkhead or some kind of shoreline armoring, and you can see that they're busy, or hear that they're busy digging out.
Yeah, the Caterpillar tractor just started back up.
Yeah, that they're busy working down there, removing the last of the armoring and digging out a salt marsh. But by removing the rock, they allow for driftwood and wave action to then go all the way up the beach, and it really creates a much more natural beach that, if you think about all the wildlife that's existed here for, you know, millennia, they require those natural functioning shorelines to prosper.
And why is a natural system better? What are the qualities that, you mentioned the qualities that make it natural, but why is that better?
Because of through evolution over all this time, different creatures learn to exist like in driftwood. So a way a normal shoreline might work is you might get driftwood accumulating up high on the beach, and then that allows places that erode slower. And that allows for the establishment of new plants because that area isn't washing away all the time. Those plants then might support, say, a vole that comes in and feeds on the plants, which in turn maybe supports a heron that feeds on that vole. So it's all a system.
So we're restoring some of the benefits that might have been lost to some of the creatures that are going to depend on this salt marsh or depend on getting rid of these creosote pilings. That's the benefit.
Yes.
How does this project fit into the big picture? We're looking at a beach that you said is about a little bit over a football field long. It's going to be amazing once it's been restored, but there's a lot of shoreline in the Puget Sound. How does this fit into the big picture?
There is a tremendous amount of shoreline here that needs to be restored, and this project in itself isn't going to bring back any particular species. But much the way that the harbor and Puget Sound has deteriorated through one little bit at a time, everything adding up cumulatively, and then we end up with a really sick Puget Sound, that's how we're going to have to restore it. We can't do everything at once, but here we have 350 feet of shoreline, a new salt marsh, and a bunch of dozens of creosote pilings that have been removed. So we're moving in the right direction.
Standing here, this is just this amazing restoration effort, but I'm looking around and I'm seeing house after house after house built right against the shoreline. Many of those beaches, including the one abutting this one, has its own bulkhead. I just wonder, is this too far gone? Is this going to be enough?
No, this project itself is not nearly enough. We need a lot more, and we're doing a lot, but it's going to take all of us pitching in and doing many of these sorts of projects to help bring Puget Sound back from the brink.
All right. Hey, Greg, thanks so much for telling us about it.
My pleasure.